always biblical. Okay, so we're called to a higher standard. So tonight I'm going to be talking through some of these things, and then we're going to watch a video. How many of you snickered through the video last week as they they role played? Tonight you'll probably do the same because you just laugh. Guarantee most of us are not having confrontations like that. You know, what was one word they said? Sherry, what was something they said? It puzzles me. Did you go home and try that? It puzzles me why you don't put the dishes away after you eat something on that plate. It puzzles me. Actually, he's really good at doing dishes. But, you know, it seems silly to us. But I think Sherry hit the nail on the head when she says it seems weird to us because we are the ones that sometimes do it wrong. It seems foreign to us. It seems funny to us. And even as I was watching the video, I kind of laughed as they were confronting each other because I'm like, this is almost funny, but it's healthy. It's healthy to do it the right way. Amen? All right, I got to get on my notes here. So God has given us an inner guidance system to move through life, and it's called our feelings. Everybody has them, right? You have these feelings. Sometimes the feelings are right, and sometimes they're what? They're wrong, right? It is essential that you pay attention to the way you feel, but it is not essential that you follow those feelings all the time, okay? It can be costly. God knows what's going on in your mind. Did you know that? He knows. He knows what's going on in your mind at all times. We may not know what's going on in your mind, but God knows. What is God? Starts with an O. Anybody know the word? Say it loud. Yes. So what does that mean? What does that word mean? All knowing. Do you all agree with that? God is all knowing. Okay, so everybody take a deep breath. Here it comes. It's going to be, whoo, okay? God knows all things and all situation, and God alone knows what's going on in your mind. However, we routinely play God and start to make assumptions about people around us. How do we do that? We start to think that we know what's going on, that we must know what they feel. Have you ever felt that? Well, they did this because this is how they feel. Do you think you're always accurate? No. Trying to interpret a certain behavior without verifying facts is playing God. It's dangerous, right? Pastor Sunny, would you put up that next slide, please? These assumptions unleash much needless pain and confusion in your life. When you start to interpret behaviors of people around you, you start making assumptions and you don't verify the facts, and all of a sudden your heart is in pain because you've created a situation in your mind that never existed. Ever been there? So if you're taking notes, you're welcome to write these down. Many of us have played scenarios in our minds and we spiral downward into a negative behavior. Ever done that? Ever gotten down? And the situation hasn't even come up, but our mind has led us down a really, really dangerous path. I don't know if you're like me, but I remember having a conversation. I was so sure that this is what had happened. And when I sat down and had the conversation, I realized that I couldn't have been more wrong. And I had wasted a lot of time hurting and in pain over something that was not that wasn't factual. Ever done that? This can happen in your marriages. This can happen with your children. This can happen in your friendships. And guess what? It happens in the church. Happens a lot in the church. This is a great crowd, by the way. Man, you guys must really want to learn about relationships. This is awesome. I'm looking around. I'm like, this is great. That means you care about your relationships. Thank you for coming tonight. So what I call this, when we begin to have these thought processes in our lives, these are landmines, okay? These are things that can blow up very easily. And we begin to separate ourselves from relationships because we've built the scenario in our mind. Ever done that? Let's get ready here soon. We're going to start reading a lot of scripture. Pastor Harris, can you get another microphone maybe? Because I'm going to have you maybe walk around here in just a minute. Have you ever built invisible walls to keep people out? Have you ever built invisible walls because of a scenario you've built in your head? Have you ever found out those scenarios are not correct, but yet you've put the walls up because this is, it has to be right. This is the way I see it, right? Worst of all, the walls aren't even the worst of it. Do you know that when you begin to build a city in your mind that does not exist, that you actually can quench God's spirit in your life? This is why, and I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. Everybody learn this phrase. Are you ready? Can I check out an assumption I have? Say it. Can I check out an assumption I have? Okay. So the stories that we tell ourselves have an enormous impact on our feelings. When you begin to start to think in a way that does not please the Lord, you are affecting your spiritual health, healthy emotion inside. Why is this important? We need to make an intentional decision to stop mind reading. Could you do that next slide, Pastor Sunny, possibly, or Josh, whoever's out there? We need to intentionally make a decision to stop mind reading. Is that up there? Oh, good. It's there. And right there. Talk to people in person instead of in your head. Talk to people in person instead of your head. I want us to read the ninth commandment. If you would put up that fourth slide. Could somebody please read Exodus 20:16 for me? I know it's up there, but for the recording purposes, I want to read this scripture. This is the ninth commandment.
You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor.
Everybody know that commandment? Heard that commandment? Do you know that when you begin to build scenarios in your head, you are doing something against this commandment? Have you ever thought about that? That ninth commandment many of us deal with on a daily basis. Every time we make an assumption about someone who has hurt or disappointed us without confirming it, we have believed a lie about somebody. When we leave reality for mental creation of our own doing, we create a counterfeit world. If you're someone who talks to me, I will talk to you about counterfeit worlds. And this is why. It can properly be said that if we exclude God from our lives, it's because God does not exist outside of reality and truth. If you build a counterfeit world in your mind, God cannot exist there. Because God cannot exist outside of reality and truth. So a lot of times we wonder why our relationships are broken or why we're not seeing change in here or why we've had the same kind of hurt, but God's like, I can't get to that because that's not even truth. That is not even built on reality. The Bible has much to say about not taking on the role of judge. Shall we read about it? Matthew 7:1-5. Could somebody read, please read Matthew 7:1-5. Matthew 7:1-5. Awesome, thank you.
This is from the NLT. Do not judge others. Do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you.
These are all very common scriptures we hear, but how many know tonight the Lord wants to get a clear message through to us? I don't know how many times I've read the Ten Commandments, and I've just kind of passed over that ninth commandment, not thinking about the fact that on a weekly basis, I deal with these battles in my mind, these things that I allow my mind to go down a place that it should never go. The whole series is amazing because we're going to be dealing with the inner workings of what goes on inside of us. And tonight, that stop mind reading and clarify expectations is what we're hitting. These skills will provide practical help for you loving well and eliminating conflicts amongst yourselves. That's really where this is going. As a church, if we're going to move into what God is calling us into, we have to be a church of unity. Why would the world want to come in if we don't look any different? If this is a place of gossip, or this is a place where we hold on to grudges or pain, yet we don't have enough honor to go to a fellow believer or even a non-Christian and say, hey, I have this assumption. Can you help me out? Is this assumption truth or not? Because I value you. I don't want to walk around letting this thing build up walls between me and you. I care about you enough to talk to you. Amen? We've got to start setting high. I feel like, you know, the church, we need to take back territory. This should not be known as a place where you're not safe. Gossip should be unsafe. I can tell you that right now. If you're feeling like people are talking about you and all this stuff, we don't want to give you that feeling here at this church. Let's create a safe place for each other. The book of Proverbs is filled with practical wisdom about holy restraint. Shall we read some? Pastor Cindy, if you don't mind going to that next slide, could somebody please read Proverbs 18:2? And it will be up there, but also you can open to it. Proverbs 18:2.
Okay. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions.
How many of you, let's just be honest for a second, are really good about giving your opinion? Oh, come on. There were three of you. And ever given your opinion and you like to give it, right? What does that scripture say? Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. How important is it to show understanding to each other? You know, it's not easy to sit down and start to talk about things that have hurt you or things that have frustrated you. But the Bible's very clear in this scripture that it's wise to find understanding with each other. Let's read the next one. Proverbs 18:13. If someone would please read that. Proverbs 18:13. I think it's up there.
To answer before listening, that is folly and shame.
Have you ever been in a situation where the person, like, you can't even get a word in because it's just like back and forth, back and forth? Folly means lack of good sense, foolishness that is costly. When you are so quick to speak that you're not giving ear and value to others around you, it's costly. It could be costly to your relationships. It could be costly to you because you're not understanding what's truly happening. How about Proverbs 18:15?
The heart of discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out.
So if you're wise, you seek it out. Do you know, you've all heard it, you have two ears and what? One mouth. Do you think God did that on purpose? So we should spend half as much time doing what? Right? Yeah. We need to start to listen. There's, this happened last night. Hopefully you all know, like, we try to be very real with you, but we have two small children, a six-year-old and a three-year-old. And our three-year-old, you know, when they're younger, they just take more of your time. You know, you have to nurture them a little different. And my six-year-old, last night I didn't even tell Harris this, I was putting him to bed. We had a really candid conversation. I could tell he was frustrated. Now, as a mom, I could have said, just go to bed. You know, you're acting a fool, right? Have your kids ever acted just out of control? And you don't want to take the time to ask them why. They're obviously tired. This is going to take my time. I'm tired. But I could tell something was going on in his heart. And so I said, do you want to talk to me? Want to tell me what you're feeling, buddy? Can you figure out what you're feeling? And he said, I think you love Lindley more than you love me. Now, this was an opportunity, because how many know that seeds start to be planted early at a young age? Have I ever told my son I don't love him? Absolutely not. But obviously, he had the feeling. So I began to sit and talk to him about all the ways that I do love him and how I could see how he would feel that way and that I could improve in areas. I asked for his forgiveness. I told him I love him so much, and I told him all the reasons why, and I asked him if he'd give me another chance today to show him how much I love him. And, you know, we get these opportunities to listen. You know, if this is a feeling he's truly having, how silly for me to say, well, you're only six. That's a silly feeling to have. Well, he must truly have that feeling, you know? And so sometimes we need to just listen. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter how weird they are. It doesn't matter how annoyed you might be at them. There is wisdom in listening. There is wisdom. All right. So what is the difference between the fool and the wise? Can somebody just raise their hand? Just by those scriptures, I just gave you a big hint. To you reading these scriptures, what is the difference between someone who's a fool and someone who is wise? We'll take three, and then we're going to watch the video.
A wise person will listen before responding, and a fool just vents anything that comes to their mind.
That's good. It's good. Wise. How about anybody else? Something else that comes to your mind? I see Demu up there. And then.
Well, the Bible says, James 1:19, be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to get angry. So what I take from that is just being willing to hear someone out, because hearing is different than just listening. When you hear, you're actually reflectively listening to what that person has to say, and then you're waiting to respond as you're listening.
That's so good. That's so good.
That was an all right answer.
That was very good. All right, we have one up. Did you have another one? Yep.
One more.
One more.
It seems that the wise are ready to learn before they teach, yeah. And the truly foolish want to teach before they've learned.
That's good. That's good. That's very good.
That sounds like a fortune cookie. That's awesome. I love it.
Okay, well, we're going to go into the video right now. These two are excellent teachers. Please, I ask that you open your heart. At the end, it can seem a little weird as they role play, but it is a husband and wife, and it's okay to laugh as they role play, because I'm telling you, you've all been there probably, okay? So we're going to watch it, then we're going to come back and talk.
In this session, I want to remind you that these skills are meant to help us grow as disciples of Christ. Look at the graphic in your workbook. It shows how each skill enables us to both receive the love of God and give the love of God. In our last session, we learned the community temperature reading, or CTR for short. With that skill, I receive the love of God by using my God-given voice to express, for example, my preferences and hopes and wishes. I'm also giving the love of God by checking out puzzles and now taking responsibility for my complaints. In this session, you'll be taught two skills: stop mind reading and clarify expectations. They both revolve around eliminating more assumptions that create confusion and pain in relationships. They're simple skills and profoundly practical. These two skills are based on the ninth commandment from Exodus 20:19. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. When you and I make assumptions about others without checking them out, it's easy to start telling ourselves stories about them in our heads that aren't true. We are bearing false witness in our own thoughts against our neighbor, and this is very damaging to relationships. The first skill, called stop mind reading, is to clarify what another person is thinking rather than assuming you know. It's a skill that can be used anywhere, anytime, that I become aware that I'm making assumptions that I've not checked out.
Some Christians get offended at the title of this skill, stop mind reading, because God condemns it in the Old Testament. And that is why we call it that. We are the last people who should be involved in such a thing. For example, on my days off from church, I used to think, I'm so tired and I would love to take a nap. But in my mind, I thought to myself, if I take a nap, Jerry's going to be upset. And I just assumed it was important to her that I take advantage of every spare minute to get things done. And when I finally learned the skill, I asked her. I said, Jerry, may I have permission to read your mind?
You may.
I think that you think that if I take a nap on my day off, that I'm a slouch or I'm lazy, and you'll think less of me. Is that true?
No, not at all.
So you can see, I lost years of naps.
I have an example where a young woman came to me about how she recently used this skill. She told me she assumed her friend would get mad at her for wanting to reschedule a dinner date. But this time she decided to stop mind reading and give her friend a call. So she called her and said, hey, I'd like to check out an assumption with you. I'd like to reschedule our dinner date, but I think you'll be mad at me if I do. Is that correct? Her friend said to her, no, I'm actually relieved. I've had a stressful week, and it'd be better for me too if we reschedule. So you can see how we begin to tell ourselves stories that just aren't true when we make assumptions.
The principle is simple. Never assume you know what a person is thinking or feeling. Here's how the skill works. Reflect on something you assume someone thinks or feels, but has not actually told you. And then you ask, may I have permission to read your mind? When permission is granted, you say, I think, you think. Is that correct? Or you can ask, can I check out an assumption I have? I am wondering, whatever it might be, and you say, is that correct? Here's an example of what we mean. Let me try this out now live with Jerry. Jerry, may I have permission to read your mind?
You may.
I think that you think that I'm responsible to figure out all the money involved in getting another car. And finding the car, of course. Is that correct?
No. No, not at all.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. May I have permission to read your mind?
Sure.
I think that you think that I am responsible for all the logistics of our summer vacation. So I'm supposed to book the flights and the rental car and the lodging. So is that correct?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Well, you know what? At least it's good to know that.
Absolutely. Now turn in your workbooks and follow the instructions for this skill.
This session, I want to remind you that these skills are meant to help us grow as disciples of Christ. Look at the graphic in your workbook. It shows how each skill enables us to both receive the love of God and give the love of God. In our last session, we learned the community temperature reading, or CTR for short. With that skill, I receive the love of God by using my God-given voice to express.
Same one. That's the same one. It's after. The break, it says continue.
I have permission to read your mind.
Thanks, Josh.
Go.
I did. It was me. It was my fault.
Assumptions bring so much unnecessary pain in relationships. That's why we actually have three different ways of getting at our assumptions. The first was last week through the community temperature reading when we introduced puzzles. The second we just learned in Stop Mind Reading. This third one is going to be found now in Clarifying Expectations, the title of this skill. This one helps us recognize what expectations we have a right to and how to clarify our expectations with others. Listen, people quit their jobs over unmet expectations. Churches split over unmet expectations. Couples divorce over unmet expectations. Families stop talking to one another over unmet expectations. Friends do as well.
All of us grew up taking in thousands upon thousands of messages around expectations. And these messages came from our families, cultures, TV, social media, schools, friends, even fairy tales. Think for a moment just about the area of marriage. What expectations about marriage did you receive from your family? Was it wives will be in charge of the house and husbands will pay the bills? Or what did you learn from fairy tales about marriage? That you'll live happily ever after? Or how about from love songs? That romance and love comes naturally and you don't have to work at it? Holidays and birthdays also come with a ton of expectations. Here's a list of expectations that we've collected from people about Christmas. We'll buy each other gifts of equal value. Every Christmas, everyone will get along. No one will get out of hand. Every Christmas, children will be grateful and well-behaved. Or guests will bring food. Or everyone will help clean up. As you think about those expectations, what do you notice? Some may be unrealistic, like everyone will get along and there will be no tension. If for the last 10 years there's tension and conflict between Uncle John and Aunt Mary, then it's probably unrealistic to expect that won't happen this year. How about buying each other's gifts of equal value? You didn't even know you had an expectation around money spent on gifts until you gave a $100 gift card and received a $5 gift. Sometimes we're unconscious of our expectations until we get disappointed. And finally, you just assumed everyone would offer to bring food without you having to ask, but they didn't. And now you're resentful because you have to cook the whole meal by yourself. So sometimes our expectations are unspoken. So there are actually four problems with expectations. One, they are a problem when they are unconscious. What I mean by that is sometimes we have expectations that we didn't even know we had until we are disappointed.
So for example, I expected all of our children, we have four daughters, to be straight A students until one of my daughters started getting B's and C's. I wasn't even conscious I had the expectation until it happened, and then I was disappointed.
And early in our marriage, I had no idea I expected Pete to work around our house the way my dad did when I was growing up. And when Pete wasn't fixing things on his days off, I felt annoyed and irritated, and I'm thinking to myself, isn't this his job? So sometimes, again, we're not even conscious of our expectations until we get disappointed. Second problem with expectations is when they're unrealistic. Sometimes we have expectations that aren't reasonable, or there's no evidence to support that it can or will happen. Here are some examples. My small group will end on time this week, even though it never has. Or those close to me will make my birthday special, even though they haven't in the past several years. Or someone told me recently that when they text their friend, they expect them to text them back immediately. And I said, well, what is immediately? And she said to me, 30 seconds. And I said, that's probably unrealistic. Thirdly, expectations are a problem when they are unspoken. Many times our expectations are actually never said out loud. For example, Each of your colleagues will remove their food from the office refrigerator at the end of the week. Or the extended family will all help in paying for the grandparents' anniversary party. Or all leaders will attend prayer meetings. If you're telling yourself, they should just know, I want you to know this. That's probably a lie from the pit of hell. We cannot expect people to read our minds. Expectations must be spoken. And finally, expectations are a problem when they're unagreed upon. Very often, I have expectations of others that they never agreed to, or people have expectations of me I never agreed to. Just because you invited your son and his girlfriend for dinner doesn't mean they will come or have to come. Just because you asked a friend for a ride doesn't mean they will do it or have to do it. I also realized I had expectations of people they didn't agree to. I'd speak my expectations, for instance, to volunteers to be at an event 30 minutes before it was about to begin. Then I'd be shocked when they arrived 30 minutes after the event began. I later realized, although I had spoken the expectation to them by emailing the time I wanted them there, they actually had never agreed that they would come 30 minutes early. Think with me for a moment of the countless expectations around workplaces. Things like overtime or coworker birthdays or who cleans out the staff refrigerator. How about home and family? Do I buy birthday presents for my brother's children? How often should I call mom or dad? Do I go to the family Christmas party since I'm expected to? Even with neighbors, there's expectations about loud music after certain hours or barking dogs or teenagers' friends taking food from the refrigerator without asking. And expectations around churches. The pastor will return my phone calls within 24 hours. The church will help me parent my teenage sons. I'll hang out with the people in my small group on weekends.
Here's the million-dollar question. What expectations do we have a right to? And what expectations don't we have a right to? This skill helps us to distinguish between these two things. What is a valid expectation and what is an invalid expectation? Sometimes we don't even know we have an expectation until we are angry or disappointed. That is why a lack of clarity about expectations can be like stepping on a landmine. Suddenly, you're in the midst of fallout and pain of a strained relationship.
So let's be clear about what makes an expectation valid. There are four criteria. Number one, expectations must be conscious. That is, I have to be aware of my expectation. Secondly, expectations must be realistic. That means there has to be evidence to support that the expectation is reasonable of me or someone else. Either it has been done in the past, or the person has the capacity and willingness to do it. And I want to make a special note here around realistic expectations. The reason this is so important is that unrealistic expectations are a leading cause of depression. So when it comes to work projects or ministry experiences or family gatherings, you have to really think about whether your expectations are realistic or not. Thirdly, expectations have to be spoken. That means I have expressed the expectation clearly. And then finally, expectations must be agreed upon. The other person has agreed to the expectation by saying yes. So here's the principle. An expectation is only valid when mutually agreed upon. Let me repeat that. An expectation is only valid when mutually agreed upon.
Now, before we send you off to practice this skill, I want to mention a few exceptions to this agreed-upon criteria. As our children's authority figure, for example, as parents, we don't need their agreement when we ask them to do the household chores. At work, where there's an employer-employee contract, there's already an overall agreement. And there is built into the marriage vow expectations that you will not flirt or be unfaithful to your spouse, that you will be faithful to them for the rest of your life. So let's now take a few minutes to do the exercise about clarifying expectations in your workbook. Follow the instructions, and when you're done, turn the video back on.
We don't have the workbook to do, so don't worry, I'm not going to make you do that. All right, we can turn the lights back on. I know it might seem silly to show the video. The video is so good, though, as they go through these things. So why on a Wednesday night are we talking about such things? Right, right. The Bible's very clear about things that we deal with in our mind. And I know in my own life where relationships have been hurt the most is with expectations that weren't really true. And I think that the enemy can gain a lot of ground in the life of a thought life of a Christian if we're not careful. So let's talk about some of these that they said real quick, and I'm going to end with a scripture that's really powerful. Let's talk about those expectations, if they would put the slide up, if you can read that. They talked about unconscious expectations. Have you ever done this? We have expectation of others that we don't even know we have until we are disappointed. Ever have that happen, right? You didn't even know it was an expectation, but now you're disappointed. Unrealistic. Ever had one of those with someone? We have expectations that are not reasonable. Unspoken. They might not be realistic, but they've never even been spoken. This is something I would like you to do, and you've never even said that. Unagreed upon. They haven't even said yes to it, right? So you just have all these expectations. Have, especially the men in here, I have a question for. Uh-oh, right? Men take great, they take great value to what they do as the man of the house in their jobs and stuff. Have you ever felt let down, men, maybe because you felt like there were expectations that you couldn't meet? You just felt like, I'm never going to be good enough? And maybe there hasn't been necessarily it ever said to you, but you have felt in yourself that you can never mount up, mount to anything because these expectations that just hang over you, right? Whether that's work or relationships or whatever. You've heard me speak about relationships before, men, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's proven that men are like small children, small boys. They have a ball, and when you don't play nice with them, they kind of take their ball and they're like, I don't want to play with you because you hurt my feelings, you know? And so women, we have to be very careful, I can say this because I'm a woman, that we're clear about our expectations with the men in our life, because they want to provide, they want to take care of us. And if they're constantly reaching for something that we're just, you know, constantly harping or these things, a lot of times we don't verbalize our expectation. And when they have nothing to aim at, they feel like they're failing. That's awful. That's awful. Rejection and those things for men to feel is an awful thing. So be very clear with your expectations. Amen? Men, when you teach this, then you can talk about to the women. But women, we can be a little more careful with that. All right. So he also talked about, they talked about, so how do we have good expectations? So you can go ahead and flip it to that next side. It's just the opposite of those things that we see there. So making sure that they are realistic, that they're spoken and that they're agreed upon. What time is it? Can somebody tell me the time? Awesome. I would like to read a scripture. Do you still have the... Awesome. Could somebody read 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 18 for me? 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 18. This is a powerful group of scriptures right here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 18. Could we turn on that microphone, please?
Testing? Okay. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Amen. I urge you, brothers and sisters, urge you, encourage. What was that? That was 1 Thessalonians 5:14 through 18. How many times have you viewed people as an annoyance in your life? Ever done that to somebody who just kind of gets on your nerves? Or maybe an interruption? You're focused on doing something and someone interrupts you, right? And you're like, I don't have time. I know I've done that to my children too. Like, just give me a minute. I'm trying to do this, you know? Annoyance or interruption. Or even if you viewed people like your enemy. Ever done that? They're my enemy, you know, and I don't have time for them. I think the Lord is trying to heal his people, that we be people of grace, that we learn to break our will in areas, that we learn to transform into gentle, kind, and loving people so that people can truly see Jesus in our life. Amen? So I'm going to have you do something a little different. There's three common questions that come with this. Here's the three common questions. And I'm going to have you just, if you're here with your spouse or you're just here with some friends or whatever, getting like little groups, I'm going to ask these three questions and this is how we're going to end. I'm going to give you about 10 minutes to do this and then we're going to pray and dismiss. How's that sound? Here are the three questions. What do I do when someone cannot meet my expectations? Do you get mad? Do you get frustrated? Do you put up walls? Do you talk bad about that person? Right? That's the first question. Second question, what do I do if an agreed upon expectation with someone and they don't do it? Ever had somebody, you know, hurt your feelings and they don't do it? You thought it was agreed upon? How do you respond to that? And the third one is this. This is the kicker. Are y'all ready for this? What do I do if God doesn't meet my expectation? Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you have expectations of God? How many of you have expectations with the timing of the Lord in your life? How many of you have expectations with relationships in your life? How many of you have expectations of how life should have gone but didn't go that way? And you wonder, God, how? Why is this working out this way? We put so many expectations not only on ourselves, on others, but we also put expectations on God. And so we have to be very careful of that. So that question is, what do I do if God doesn't meet my expectation? If you just turned it, this is a good way for you to get to know people too. You can turn to the person next to you. If you are kind of, if you came here alone, just like find somebody sitting around you. We don't want anybody to be alone. So grab people to be in your group. It can be at least 2, 3, 4, whatever. And if you would just kind of answer a few of these, that would be great.
Would you mind playing just some soft music, please? Thank you, sir.
Test. One more minute. I'll give you all one more minute, then we're going to wrap up. All right. Y'all seem to like each other. This is good. That's an assumption my husband said. That puzzles them. Oh, are you reading my mind? You guys are so funny. As funny as that sounds, it does sound a little weird. You know, say what's comfortable to y'all, however you say. How many of you, I want to end on something in just a moment, but how many of you had some good takeaways from tonight? Just as reminders of, I've got to get this under control, right? Although this is very practical, Wednesday nights, if you're new to Wednesday nights, people can tell you this, there's never one Wednesday night that's the same. It's always different. We move with the Holy Spirit, what He's asking us to do. And God has been really on our hearts just talking about relationships, fine-tuning relationships. And so we want to take time from now until Christmas to kind of fine-tune what's going on inside of us. You're all gearing up to be with a lot of family over Thanksgiving, over Christmas. Wouldn't it be nice to walk in with your expectations under control, right? Something that she said, and I just want to touch on it before I let you go. Did you notice she said that when expectations can, if you deal with depression, a lot of times that is because there are expectations that you are dealing with or putting on yourself. So I just want to encourage you, if that is something that you deal with, that the Heavenly Father wants to come in and help you carry that weight. That you need to be able to lay that down and say, God, I can't do this without you, but I have to lay those down. And so tonight, I do want to say this. There's a welcoming prayer out there that's so powerful. And if you would just bow your heads with me, I want you just to kind of say this with me, because how many know you can go into a service and it's really like, that was good, that was practical, but you go back out and you do nothing about it. Have you ever done that? We want you to implement what the Lord is saying in your life. So would you just agree with me? Everyone, just say welcome. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. I need you to heal my heart. Yes, Jesus. I welcome you into my thoughts and my feelings. I welcome you into my situation. I welcome you into the condition of my family. I let go of my desire for security. I let go of my desire for approval. I let go of my desire for control. I let go of my desire to change the everything. I open up to your presence, God. And I ask you to heal every broken place in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, Lord, I just give you tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, that you give us just practical examples of how to love each other better. And Lord, I ask this week, God, as we go from work or we're inside our homes, Lord, that you would just bring this to our memory, Lord, that we put this at the cross and we say, Lord, help us to control our emotions, our feelings, and our thought life, God. And we give you praise for the miracles we're going to see through this series. In Jesus' name, amen.